We're having First Africans Day on Saturday, July 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And this is something that we do. It's kind of a powerful day of reflection, commemoration, remembrance, as we try to honor the stories and the contributions of the enslaved Africans and African Americans who helped shape not only the history of Stratford Hall, but the history of the Northern Neck and the history of Virginia. And so we have a lot of commemorative activities going on throughout that day. And we're really excited to have the opportunity to do it again this year. And we're being backed by Wells Fargo, which is delightful.
Boy, to be able to tell these stories, because in a lot of cases, these are stories I think that a lot of us will sit there and hear and think, I've never heard that. I've never heard that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, that's right. In fact, what we're trying to do is provide not just, you know, putting people in a passive position where they have to listen to tales, but, you know, also get them involved in vital and dynamic ways. So, for example, we have a performance by the Cam Curran West African Dance Company where people are going to be invited to participate and learn some West African dance. We're going to have Slam One and his team of musicians are there. They're going to have a drumming circle, and we're going to be able to learn some West African rhythms. All of this happening on this beautiful expanse of property and this ancient history that we have with the Great House. We're also going to have culinary demonstrations in the historic kitchen. We have an African-American interpreter named Dontavius Williams who comes up and makes that kitchen come alive with smells, real smells of period recipes. And he also is there to tell some of those lesser known stories that you were referring to. Then we have historical interpreters across the site. Hope and Willie Wright from Colonial Williamsburg are going to join us and tell us about some of the experiences of enslaved and partnered domestic folks, right? I mean, what was their domestic life like? We also have Harold Caldwell coming from Colonial Williamsburg. He's going to be talking to us about the experiences of enslaved carpenters and enslaved agricultural workers. So we just have this wide swath of folks are coming, but, you know, I haven't even said the most exciting thing.
And the most exciting thing is...
Well, the most exciting thing is that we have arriving for a talk, which begins at 3 p.m. on that very day, July 26th, 3 p.m., Dr. Etta Fields Black from Carnegie Mellon University. She's the director of the Dietrich College Humanities Center. Her book, Combi, just won the Pulitzer Prize for History this past May. So we've got her just in the month after or so that she's won this Pulitzer Prize. And it's a fascinating story. I mean, most Americans know about Harriet Tubman's kind of legendary life. You know, she escapes enslavement in 1849. She leads more than 60 others out of bondage via the Underground Railroad. She gives instructions on getting to freedom to scores more. And she goes on kind of to live a lifetime fighting for change. But a lot of the biographies and children's books and films about Tubman have a lot less to say about this kind of crucial chapter of her life, which is that during the Civil War, she was hired by the Union Army. And she ventured into the heart of slave territory, which is Beaufort, South Carolina, to live and work and gather intelligence for a daring raid up the Combahee River to attack rice plantations in the South Carolina Lowcountry. You know, this is the breadbasket of the Confederacy. So, Combi, the book, tells this story. And what's even more incredible is that Dr. Etta Fields Black is a direct descendant of a formerly enslaved man who liberated himself after the Battle of Port Royal, and he fought in the Combahee River Raid. And so she's going to be there, and she's going to be telling this incredible story that I don't think people have had the opportunity to hear before. And again, it's just really not told as a part of the Tubman story. We get a lot about the Underground Railroad,
right,
but we don't get this chapter.
Oh, what a fascinating story. And again, it just adds another chapter and a little bit of understanding about Harriet Tubman.
Yeah. I mean, just another layer of complexity as, you know, we continue over the years, over the decades, over the centuries to try to build more complete stories. And Stratford is absolutely committed to that. And so this is just one step again, toward us trying to do justice historically to some of those stories that have been left behind previously.
Well, what a fascinating day, because like as you just described it, how it's set up, there are so many things to take part in, whether it's, you know, to learn dance, or to learn and have the smells of food, or just this particular story. This is a pretty unique opportunity that Stratford Hall is presenting here, and it's free.
That's right. It's absolutely free of charge. And we have, in addition to all of these various stations that, we have a guy who's going to be talking about African horns, and he's going to bring a few African horns there and show us how these are used, how they're made. We're going to have food trucks on site so that people, as they're wandering around, they get hungry, they get thirsty, they're going to be able to avail themselves of some great food. And then most importantly, we have some pretty excellent opening and closing ceremonies where we, again, it's that part of the day where it's dedicated to reflection and remembrance. We have an opening ceremony at the slave cemetery that we have at Stratford, where we're going to be graced with music by Shiloh Baptist Church. We're going to learn some language from the West African traditions. We're also going to have a closing ceremony down on the Potomac River, where we recite the name of all the enslaved that we know were at Stratford. And what's amazing about this, Ted, is that only recently we learned from a letter that we acquired two names of enslaved African Americans that we did not know before, only a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And so we can now add those. I know. I'm telling you what, like I said, we're learning, and we're learning more, and we're trying to learn more. And only recently have we discovered these two additional enslaved African Americans who were working at Stratford when they were working at Stratford. And so we're going to be able to add those names to our list. And that's what this is about. Making sure that those names are recognized and called out for the contributions, again, they've made to Stratford, to the Northern Neck, to Virginia, to the country.
And it shows, Dr. Steffi, just that Stratford continues to do the research and to look into this. There's others there, I'm sure you'll come across. They're not forgotten.
Yeah, this isn't it. I mean, this letter that we just found isn't the end of the road. It happens to be a really important piece because we didn't have a lot from the year. This particular letter is from 1849, and the letter is specifically only about some of the enslaved folks, which is, also incredible that the content is not just a passing mention to these folks, but actually talks about them in multiple paragraphs. And it's not, like you say, Ted, it is definitely not the end of the road for the research. It's just the beginning. And, again, it shows you that you never know what you're going to find. The way that we found this letter is I personally was contacted by someone who said, hey, there's this letter on eBay that I think you should probably take a look at. And so, sure enough, I did. And I'm in the library. At the moment, I was in the Library of Virginia doing research. And so there I am on my phone inside the Library of Virginia, browsing eBay, and I find this letter. I make some inquiries, and sure enough, lo and behold, I click buy, and there it was. So now we're going to have this piece of history at Stratford Hall for descendants of some of the enslaved Africans and African Americans to come and read about folks that perhaps are their ancestors, and to add those names of those ancestors to the story of Stratford.
What a discovery. I mean, and like you say, you never know when that kind of thing is going to happen.
You really don't. I mean, you really don't. I was, blown off my feet by this. Because sometimes you're just thinking, well, there's not a lot out there, but then something always surprises you. And yeah, in this case, it turned up. And, again, like I said, we don't have a lot from this period, 1849. It's an interesting period. Stratford Hall had left the Lee hands by that time, but it's still kind of in the hands of someone who was related to the Lee family in some way. So we didn't have a lot, but now we have more. And again, I'm always hoping, I'm always on the lookout to add to the collection that we have so that we can tell fuller stories at Stratford.
Well, and it shows that Stratford really, you're really at the cutting edge of a lot of this, whether it's this kind of research or a First Africans Day or the podcast that you provide, using a lot of technology and a lot of things at our disposal to tell these stories.
Yeah, we try to stay on the leading edge of everything. It's tough sometimes to keep up. But we certainly do all that we can to try to get that. We don't want to just kind of hold those stories close to our chest, but we want to get them out there as soon as we can. And, a lot of people celebrate Juneteenth, And at Stratford, we, you know, contributed importantly to representation in Colonial Beach for the Juneteenth celebrations there. But for us, First Africans, July 26, this is the day that a ship named the Liverpool Merchant arrived in the South Potomac with a cargo of 80 enslaved Africans consigned to Thomas Lee, July 26, 1738. We know that date. We have that ship's manifest. And so for us, right, this is the day that we choose then to really start thinking about who were these folks?
Hmm.
What were the circumstances in which they were brought here? What were the circumstances in which they lived, right? And we want to honor that. And so July 26 is a really important date for us at Stratford Hall, and anything that we can do, like whether through technology or research, to contribute to and add and fill out that story, we're trying to do.
So just go to stratfordhall.org for information again on First Africans Day, or Facebook has information too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we look forward to everyone coming out. Don't miss Dr. Etta Fields Black talking about Combi, this Pulitzer Prize winning book for 2025 in history. We're super excited, and we want to see as many of the community out there as possible so that we can all kind of remember together, reflect together, and celebrate together.